Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you.
Oh, I am so excited to see each and every one of you this morning. For those of you who are new, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm going to be speaking this morning. I'm excited to do that, and we are in our series right now called Mindset Reset. Something that Pastor Brad said last week when he kicked us off was to think better and live better in 2026 comes to our mindset. And how many of you want to live better in 2026? Just show of hands. I mean, just, yeah, all of us, we all want to live better in 2026. How you think will determine how you live. That's why we're talking about what it means to have a mindset reset, because your mindset is everything. Your thoughts become your choices, and your choices become your direction. And all throughout this series, what we're doing is we're looking at classic stories from the Old Testament that if you have grown up in church, they'll be familiar to you. If you are brand new to church, brand new to the Bible, you are going to hear some classic stories that still today hold so much hope for each and every one of us. As Pastor Brad kicked us off last week, he talked about the difference by having either a victim mindset or a victory mindset. And he said this, a victim mindset is ruled by fear and uncertainty. A victory mindset is rooted in faith and dependence on God. If you missed last week, I really encourage you to check out the podcast. After that message, I just felt like I could run through a brick wall. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but he was just preaching fire from heaven. You really want to catch up on that week. But today, we are going to be in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3, we're going to look at verse 16 through 18. This is one of those classic stories where God does something incredible. And this is the story. If you're new to Scripture, I would encourage you to download the Bible app if you don't have one. You can find that in your digital app store. We also have Bibles in the lobby that are free to you to take and to use for your daily devotion. There is a devotional guide that accompanies that are free for you to take so that you can grow in your daily devotions. But this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men that are living in exile in Babylon. So they've been taken from Israel. They are living as exiles in Babylon, and they are about to be thrown into a blazing furnace for not having bowed down to worship this golden idol that King Nebuchadnezzar set up. The king demands that they bow. He gives them a second chance even. He threatens to throw them into the fire, and this is their response. Will you join me in standing as we read God's word today, if you're able? Daniel chapter 3, start at verse 16. It says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Today, we're going to talk about how we move from doubting to believing. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word together. That is such a gift. And when it comes to this story and what it means for our lives, I pray that as we unpack different things that we see in this story, that we just find it meaningful and that your word would just come alive and speak to us this morning. And I don't want to ramble. I don't want to just get off track. I want to say only what you want me to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Ask these things in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You can take a seat. 2026, it's a new year. New year, new me. Maybe you've seen that hashtag floating around. This is the time of year when we set goals, we make New Year's resolutions, we try new habits, pick up a new hobby, maybe something we want to include in our lives, and we all become motivational speakers for like 6 days. And then it just kind of fizzles, or maybe we just keep it up. I mean, it can go either way. And when it comes to the goals that I've set in my life this year, I have goals in different categories, but the goals that I'm most excited about are my dad goals. Things that I want to do differently as a dad in 2026. If you're new, I've got 3 boys, 16, 14, and 12. And there are different things that I want to do this year as a dad. And here are a few of these goals. When we are driving around as a family, and one of my kids suggests that we get food, my goal, some of you are nodding your head. You're like, oh, I'm in the car with you. I get that. Yeah. Some of you are the ones that suggest this in the car. You know who you are. One of my kids is right there. When my kids suggest that we should get food, my goal is to keep saying we have food at home. They need to be reminded of that, and it's my job to remind them. That's one of my goals. Just keep saying we've got food at home. Another goal, when I'm perfectly set up by my kids to repeat the same joke over and over that makes their eyes roll and themselves groan, my goal is to keep saying that same joke over and over and over. It was passed down to me. It's going to be passed down to them. Like, what matters in life are the things that we leave behind. We're talking about legacy here, people. And I plan on handing those jokes down to my kids that my dad said, that my grandfather said, that his, I don't know if it goes back that far, but these things are important, right? So that's a goal that I have. And one of the last ones I'm thinking through is when I ask my kids to do something, when I'm like, hey, can you do blank? They're going to answer on the very first time. They're going to do that thing on the very first time. I just know that this year is going to be different. When I say, hey, can you take out the recycling? They're going to be in mid-step to do that before I even finish the sentence. Like, that's just how things are going to go this year. I know that it's going to be different. That's right. Yeah. But what if it isn't? I mean, you know, now that I think about it, like I didn't listen on the first time for my parents. So what makes me think that my kids will listen on the first time when I ask things? I mean, Eric, you actually think that this year's going to be different. Eric, you actually think that you're going to have meaningful relationships with your kids this year? I mean, Eric, think about it. You're going to get busy. You're going to get distracted. You're gonna screw it up just the same as always, the same as last year and the year before that. Nothing's gonna be different. Oh, of course, man, what was I thinking? Of course things aren't gonna change. Of course it's gonna be the same thing again and again and again. People, this is what doubt does. Doubt comes in and just overwhelms us. And it can cause us to spiral into this kind of thinking. And we end up writing the end of the year when the year is just getting started. And let me remind you that this year is just getting started. So when it comes to goals that you have, things that you want to accomplish, dreams that you have of what God is going to do in your life, this year is just getting started. And remember, how I think, how you think, how we think is going to determine how we live. So let me ask you, how are you thinking? What are you thinking? What do you want to see happen this year? What doubts do you have? Maybe you're doubting that you're ever going to get married. Maybe you're doubting that you're ever going to be a parent. Maybe you're doubting that that spot on the team is going to be the one that you're going to make. Maybe you're doubting that you're going to get that scholarship offer from that college that you're just so desperate to go to. Maybe the thing that you are doubting more than anything else is that the relationship's going to be restored. Maybe you are doubting that you'll get that promotion. You're doubting if you're ever going to be free of debt that is just overwhelming to you. Maybe you're doubting that you're ever going to find that special someone. Maybe you are doubting that your kids will ever talk to you again. These doubts come in and we can spiral, but let me say this, having doubts show up does not make you broken. Having doubts show up makes you human. We all doubt. We all find ourselves in positions with things when we doubt. It's a natural thing that we do as humans because we have a natural human need and desire for understanding. And so when there's something that we do not understand or we don't see the whole picture about something, we can doubt. Having doubt show up doesn't make you broken, it makes you human. And the enemy knows this. And what the enemy is gonna do is the enemy is always going to try to get you to doubt who God is and believe for what God can do. The enemy is going to try to get you to doubt your faith and belief in God. And it's like the enemy comes in to just throw gas on those fires that we have of doubt. But not to get you to doubt that things are going to work out in the future or that a relationship's going to be restored or whatever your goal or whatever you're hoping for this year. What he's really trying to get you to doubt is your faith and belief in who God is and what God can do. And what we see here in this story is this is exactly what's happening. This is exactly what King Nebuchadnezzar is doing and saying to these three men. If you back up just a little bit, go to verse 15. This is King Nebuchadnezzar speaking to the three. And he says this, I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. One more chance. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And listen to the doubt statement here. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? What God will be able to rescue you? Like that is not just a threat. That is doubt speaking as loud as doubt can speak. What God will be able to rescue you? Like, are you sure that you can trust him? Are you sure that he's faithful? Are you sure that he's reliable? Are you sure that he's able to save you? Like, do you see these flames? Have you felt how hot this is? This is what the enemy does. This is what the enemy does with doubt. He points at the flames and he says, look, this is real and this is hot. This is bigger than you. And so the question is not, keyword, not, do I ever have doubts? We all have doubts. That's been established. The question is, what do I do when doubt shows up and it starts talking like that? When we're facing the fires of life, how do we believe when it feels impossible to do so? How do we believe when it feels impossible to do so? When the enemy tries to get us to doubt who God is and believe in for what God can do, how do we move from doubting to believing? I think you're with me on this, that this is something that we all would say that we want, is to move from doubting to believing. We don't want to just camp out in this doubt. When we have a faith and when we follow Jesus, this is what we all want to believe. I don't think any of us would say that we are fine and content with camping out in doubt. So what do we do? How do we move from doubting to believing? What does that look like? Let's look back at the scripture. Look at verse 16. It says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. I love the confidence that they have as they're saying that. And they're so respectful, like, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to do it. I mean, that sums up parenting right there. Gosh, I remember when My parents would say things. You probably did the same thing. We call that selective hearing. I think it's a trait that we all have at one point or another. Some in our marriages, some in school, some in relationships. Like, it's just like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm just not going to do it. I love their confidence. We don't have to defend ourselves before you, because I can tell you what I would be doing if I was standing there. I'd be like, hey, there's just so much tension here. And Shadrach, like, who made you our spokesperson? Excuse me, good morning. Nice fire. Lot of heat, maybe a little too hot for my taste, but what my friend is trying to say, and what he meant to say was, like, that's how I picture myself in that moment responding to the environment and reading the room, right? This fire is kind of a big deal. Like, that's my reaction, but that's not what they do. They don't give what King Nebuchadnezzar says a second thought. We don't have to defend ourselves to you. And my question is, why are they able to speak with such confidence, such faith, such belief when they are staring down a very painful death? It's because they know the stories. They've been told since birth stories of the people of Israel and what God has done for them through generations. They were told that God led them from slavery in Egypt into freedom, that God parted the Red Sea so that the people of Israel could walk across it. And when Pharaoh and his army was chasing after them, that God defended them. They know this. But not just stories that they've been told, things that they've experienced in their life. If you back up in the story, what we see is that they were taken from Jerusalem to Babylon. So they are living against their will in Babylon as exiles. And the king ordered these men, this group of men that were brought to Babylon, to eat and drink specific food. And because it was sacrificed to gods and to idols, they refused. They said, we will not eat, we will not drink, we will not defile ourselves, we will not compromise. And so these three made the decision to live on a diet of vegetables and water. And they were monitored and they were watched closely because of this, because they said, watch us, monitor us. If we look frail, if we are weak, then we'll take it into consideration. And what we see, if you back up in the story, is after that time that they were monitored and watched on this specific diet, this is what the scripture says, that they were healthier and better nourished than the other men that were eating what the king assigned them to eat. So they were told about these things that God did, but then they saw a miracle of what God did in their life themselves. So to bow down to an idol, like, are you kidding me? Of course the answer is no. Like, their conviction and belief in who God is and what God can do, they decided that long before they stood in front of that fire. Long before they were standing there in front of King Nebuchadnezzar, they decided who God is and what God can do. And so let me ask you, what fire are you standing in front of? And here's the statement I want you to hold on to, and I want you to write this down. If you're new, there are note cards in the seat back pocket in front of you. They're underneath your seats in the front here in baskets, but write this down. I will decide before the fire what I believe. I will decide before the fire what I believe. So let me ask you again, what fire are you standing in front of? Maybe it's your future. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your health. Maybe it's anxiety. What's the fire that you are standing in front of? Remember, whatever that fire is, I will decide before the fire what I believe. So what do you believe? As followers of Jesus, what do we believe? Let's look back at the scripture. Look at verse 17. They respond and say, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. Such confidence, yet still so respectful. You're wrong, your majesty. What we believe our God is able to do, he can save us. I want you to write this down. I believe my God is able. I believe my God is able. So whatever fire it is that you are standing in front of, or whatever fire is coming, this is the statement that we hold on to. I believe that my God is able, and I'll make that decision long before I'm standing in the fire, so that when I'm standing before the fire or in the fire, I believe my God is able. And notice what they do. They start with the reality, right? Like they recognize if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, like they realize this fire is kind of a big deal. But then they immediately shift to what they believe. The God that we serve is able to save us. Now, why do they use this language? The God that we serve. They use this language because Babylon, they worshiped over 2,000 different gods. And so the idea of worship to a deity, to a god, is very common, but they had over 2,000 different gods that they worshiped. So when they say the God that we serve, they are specifically making it clear that it is none of those gods, but it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that delivered the people of Israel out of slavery, the God that led them through the wilderness for 40 years by a cloud, by day. He led them through the wilderness by a pillar of fire at night. This isn't here, but I'm wondering if that is what's rolling around in their head. God led the people of Israel at night by fire. And so if he can lead the people by fire, he can deliver us from this fire. Whew. Their confidence, their belief, the God that they serve. So what do they believe? They believe my God is able. That's what they believe. Do you believe that? Do you believe my God is able? Do you look back and see what God has done in your life? One of the things I love about the new year is the opportunity to reflect. The opportunity to look back on 2025 and see what God did, the blessings, the faithfulness, his goodness. And hear me when I say this, 2025, there was a lot of hardship that I experienced. Towards the end of the year, my grandmother died, and that was one of the hardest things that I've ever experienced. And so when I look back on the year, I look back on that hardship, but I look back on the goodness and the faithfulness of God through the hardship. And so that's what gives me the ability to hope for the new year. Do you look back and see the blessings and the faithfulness and the goodness of God? And if you don't, let me remind you that we are all here this morning. And what we are doing this morning, what we are doing and declaring by being here is that nothing else matters more than this moment right here. And we're not just gathering to sing songs and high five some friends, although that is really nice. But what we are doing is we are gathering with the people of God to experience the power and the presence of God. So when somebody asks you, what does your Sunday morning look like? Let me tell you, I gather with the body of Christ, which is something that the church has been doing for 2,000 years, and we experience the power and the presence of God. I tell you what, if that's how you talk about church on a Sunday morning, people are gonna be like, so what's the address? Experience the power and the presence of God. That's a weekly story to draw back to each and every week for you. I'm gathering with the people of God to experience the power and the presence of God. That's your story, and may we share that story, because it is so important that we share our stories of what God has done in our lives. because we need to be reminded who God is and what God can do. We need to be reminded that my God is able. God is able for you. God is able for me. We need that reminder. You need it. I need that. I need to be reminded that God is able. What I'm looking at, the fire that I'm looking at, the week that I'm staring down, the experience that I'm having, whatever it is that we find ourselves in, we need those reminders. God is able. Because it's not a matter of if, right? It's a matter of when doubt comes and when the enemy takes it and tries to get us to doubt who God is, and get us to doubt our belief in what God can do, that's when we need those reminders. My God is able, because the enemy's gonna come. He's gonna point to the flames and he's gonna say, this is bigger than God. This is the final word. This is going to win. It's not gonna end the way that you think it will. And I tell you what, I have heard that voice. I have had those doubts. If you're new, I'm usually up here playing the guitar or singing and playing with our team and leading worship. And it's just one of those things that I love, that I just know that I was born to do. And we are so blessed with who we have each and every week to guide us and to lead us into worship. I'm telling you, Core Church, like the team that we have, the production team, the band, like we're so blessed. But about 10 years ago, I injured my hand, and I broke several bones in my left hand that had to be reconstructed. And the doctor used the word destroyed when talking about my UCL. That's the ligament that pretty much connects the thumb to the hand. So it's kind of a big deal. And I just, you know, go big or go home. So I destroyed it. And the surgery was intense. I mean, they had to remove pieces and fragments of bone. They had to reconstruct and re-tighten my UCL. I'm not a doctor, okay? I don't know the terms. The way that the doctor explained it to me was like, have you ever wrapped a rubber band around a bag of potato chips? I'm like, yeah, I've done that for sure. Okay, that's kind of what we're doing with your thumb, except we're creating the rubber band. I'm like, got it. Like in me, you put a rubber band in me, and no, we're using, just imagine the rubber band and it's going to be fine. And I'm like, okay. It was intense. And then the recovery and the physical therapy and just everything that came after that, the fire for me wasn't just the pain. The fire for me was the doubts that I experienced and the enemy coming in there and just throwing gas on those flames of doubt. And I began thinking, like, this is the way it's gonna be. I'm never gonna be able to play the guitar again. I'm not gonna be able to play with my kids the way that I want to. This thing that I loved so much is gone. I'm always gonna live in pain. And the enemy was speaking doubt louder than anything. But then, you know, but wait a minute. I decide before the fire what I believe, and I believe that my God is able. Now, that didn't mean that the next day I was healed and I was ready to go. I did not get to decide the timeline of my healing, but I got to decide what I believed while I healed. And so whatever you are experiencing, whatever fire you are experiencing, whatever fire is coming, decide before then what you believe, and decide and believe that your God is able. That's what we hold on to. Let that be the thing that speaks louder than anything. Here's a way I want you to remember this. I move from doubting to believing when I remember my God is able. Write that down, take a picture of it, put it as your home screen on your phone. I move from doubting to believing when I remember my God is able. We've got to be reminded, because we are human, we doubt and we drift. And we need these reminders because, I mean, the fires are just a way of life. But it's what happens when we come up against them that we need to make sure that we're prepared. And this is the way that we do that. We see this in the story. I move from doubting to believing when I remember my God is able. Look at verse 18. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Write this down. Even if my God is able. Even if. And what they're saying here is that our faith isn't based on outcomes. Our faith is based on who God is. God isn't a vending machine. This is what I want. And we wait till that thing spins and gets stuck, and then we got to punch it, and then we look like a violent person in public because we're shaking and punching this thing. Come on, God, just do this. This is what I want. God's not a vending machine. Faith isn't leverage. Worship isn't a transaction, right? Like, we don't leave here and go, check, I did it. Did you see that? You saw that. Yeah, you saw it was here. That's not what this is. We gather to experience the power and the presence of God. So it's not a transaction. It's a moment for us to be reminded that God is able. So I can acknowledge the fire and still worship. I can be disappointed and still trust God's heart. This is why we decide ahead of the fire that my God is able. Because we are gonna have these moments when we pray and we fall on our knees before God and we ask and we pray and we just beg for things to change. God, make sense of this. I don't understand. I'm praying for this to change. May this change. May this change. And they don't. Things don't change. They don't end up the way that we want them to. And we're left with this ache in our heart and lack of understanding. God, I don't understand. How are you gonna make sense of this when I've prayed for it to go a certain way and that's not the way that it went? When I've begged and I've pleaded, I've prayed those prayers. I've been there. God, make it be not like this. Don't let it be the way that it ended. Don't let that be the way that it ends. But things didn't change. And it was hard. And it was brutal. I did not understand. But I chose to believe before the fire that my God is able. And I trust in the sovereignty of God that even if I don't understand, I believe that he does. And church, that is just part of being human. That this side of heaven, there are gonna be things that happen that we don't understand. Whether that is in a relationship, whether that's with our future, there are things that are going to happen that we do not understand. And this is where we've got to get to, that even if it doesn't end the way that I hope that it would, even if it doesn't end the way that I prayed that it would, even if the God that I serve as revealed in Jesus Christ is able. So no matter what, your faith is anchored in Jesus, not the results. Your faith is anchored in Jesus, not the outcome. Those are the reminders that we need. That no matter what, it doesn't change my place. I am a child of the living God. No matter what, I'm not bowing down to this idol. Are you kidding me? Like, you built this. There's things that I've experienced that no human could make happen. So even if this is how you move from doubting to believing, is you remind yourself of what God has done. We sung about it this morning. I believe that what you did in the past, that you're going to do again. These stories that we have here, they're to remind us of who God is and believe for what God can do. So when they were presented with the fire, they remembered what God did. This is why it is so important for you to cling to the word of God and to hide his word in your heart. Not so that you can pass a biblical history exam, which I know some of you had, and that's great, but it's not so that you can pass a biblical history exam. It's so that when you come up to the fires of life, that you remember that what God did for these three men, he can do for you. That if God was able then, he's able now. The fire is a way of life. Doubts are going to come, but even if my God is able, outcomes do not get to decide who God is. Results do not determine God's goodness or God's faithfulness. I will keep praying and keep trusting God. God is faithful, even if things don't change. God is trustworthy, even if I don't understand. God is good, even if I don't get the miracle. I move from doubting to believing when I remember my God is able. And I will decide that and believe that long before the fire. My God is able.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.